And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us, everybody. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. We're glad you could join us down here. Well, it's springtime for Trump and America, and I guess that means it's wintertime for us, the people and the conscious. I don't know. Maybe that reference is outdated. But times in the mainstream, the mass media has been pummeling people in the last few weeks with just some rabid racist shit on another level. I mean, last couple of months, really. It's just on another level. It's always been there. It's always relevant. It's always in our faces. But I just feel like America has been pushing it harder in the mainstream recently, and Trump has been leading that plunge. Ted Cruz, I'm sure, will take up that mantle anytime he can. But things are looking pretty bleak on that side of stuff. There is underground movements. Black Lives Matter is doing some crazy, crazy good stuff in this country right now to try to battle back against that. Maybe that's egging the racists on. It's hard exactly to say. But the Black Lives Matter movement is definitely holding the line of what needs to be done. And this week, we're going to be talking a little bit about what we can do as punks on this side of things. I don't know if y'all know this, but a few months ago, I think at this point, there were some punks in California who fought back against a Ku Klux Klan rally that was happening in 2016 in California. These punks took it upon themselves to do the right thing, which is to run those piece of shit Klansmen out of their town. And there was a violent altercation. Some punks got hurt very seriously. Some of the Klan members stabbed those folks. And obviously the police are going to blame, they're not going to blame the Klan for these things. So they blame the punks for everything. And they're facing some very serious legal charges. So this past weekend, Saturday, April 23rd, there was a national coast-to-coast Rock Against Racism benefit that went all across the country. Tons of punk bands got together in a lot of different cities, in a lot of different states, to raise money for the punks who are facing legal costs and facing some medical shit, and hopefully do our bit to help them, those folks who were holding the front line against the fucking racist piece of shit in California. So there was a benefit. SBC Booking answered that call. SBC Bookings is a brand new collective in Long Island, and they're doing some incredible shows out there. There are a bunch of folks who are in amazing bands, and they put a bunch of those bands together and invited us out in Srima, on my new band Srima, and invited us out. We had a great show. There's Gangway ended the night. They played a killer set. If you guys don't know Gangway, make sure you go hit them up. They're one of the best bands in the city, in Long Island, in the New York area. Zero Rights, Outlive Death, Buying Time, Lawsuits, Red Arcade, Mutiny Abroad, Beechcraft Bonanza, Carbon Thief, more. I mean, there was a ton of bands, and a bunch of folks came out, and it was nice. It was just a really fun atmosphere to know that everyone's on the same page. Everybody's here for a cause that was meaningful and thoughtful, and all the bands were sick. It was a huge, huge lineup with a ton of mixed genres in there. It was a blast. It was a really good time. So we're going to do our part to try and echo what happened last weekend. We have Steve Morton, who is the bass player in Zero Rights. He's been in a bunch of other bands. He's a phenomenal bass player and a really great guy and a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine. So I'm happy he was able to make time to come and talk about the show. I had meant to make a little bit of time at the show to talk to Craig from Gangway about all the things he did coming up to and coming into this show, but we didn't have time to do it at the show. So I'm glad Steve could make time to do it after the show. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about why the benefit happened, some of the stuff that went down there, why it was such a special show, and also we're going to talk a little bit about SBC Bookings and everything they got going on at SBC, maybe a little bit about Zero Rights, Steve's band. That's on the first half of the episode. On the second half of the episode, Steve, who is part of the Dispatchers of the Underground Collective that we just started here in New York City, and again, is open to anyone else who wants to produce some segments. Steve has been working with Lauren, another member of the collective and a good friend of mine, who, to produce some segments for the show. We might actually air one a little bit later if the interview doesn't go too long. We're going to air one. But Steve has been working on that. We've been talking about some different ideas to confront and get into. And one of the things Steve and I were talking about was conspiracy theories. And Steve shared with me some of his thoughts on conspiracy theories in the past. And I was really interested by them. And I think you will be too. We're going to talk about how people get wrapped up in the conspiracy theory mentality and the fear of the New World Order and all these other things that people just get, you know, they get promoted in the mainstream, I think, because they're easily accessible answers to people who don't want to break with the idea that one individual is responsible for what happens in this world. And they don't break with capitalism. They don't break with all these other ideas that we sort of like live with. And they're complicated enough to really solve the answers, solve the problems that we see in front of us. So we're going to talk a little bit about those and Steve's ideas about them and how he broke with that mentality of conspiracy theories. Obviously, there are conspiracies in this world, but there are not some of the, there are not a group of Jewish people in the Illuminati who are fucking creating all the problems we see. That's just crazy shit. It's just crazy shit. And it's difficult to argue against them because it is so preposterous to anyone who's rational and reasonable. But the conspiracies that we see, the cops, you know, protecting themselves, or politicians, you know, on fucking House of Cards, like plotting and moving and maneuvering to get more power. Those conspiracies are true, I'm sure, on some level, but not some sort of grand conspiracy that maintains the power in this world. There are systems involved, and it is difficult to really understand and see those systems because they aren't shown to us. They aren't understood by the people who participate in them every day. And we're going to talk a little bit about demystifying that mentality of conspiracy theories. So big thank you to Steve and Zero Rights and Craig from Gangway for putting this show on with SBC Bookings in Long Island. If you want to know more, you can go to SBC Bookings. That's bookings with an S, .com, I think. Yeah, SBCBookings.com. I also want to shout out to Real Punk Radio for airing us every Wednesday night. You can go hear Dispatchers from the Underground every Wednesday night at realpunkradio.com. Shout out to everybody who tunes in every single Wednesday to get a new episode of Dispatchers from the Underground. We appreciate all the comments you send. Keep sending them. Shout out to the Dispatchers from the Underground Collective. Everyone's been working really hard. We have some stuff that we're developing. Hopefully we'll be able to air some more stuff in the near future. If you want to get involved, just holler at me. Email dispatchersfromtheunderground@gmail.com is the easiest way to get a hold of us, or hit us up on Facebook. Just search for Dispatchers from the Underground. Anyway, shout out to everyone who listens every week. I really appreciate it. And let's fucking get right to it. I want to start this episode off with a band that I was really excited to see the other day. I'd never heard of them before, and they blew my mind. It was awesome, awesome show. This is a band called Buying Time, and Paulie from Outlive Death was playing drums from that day. I don't know if he regularly plays them, but Outlive Death killed it as well. So what a great band, incredible drummer, and let's get right to it. So here's Buying Time. And then we're going to talk to Steve Morton. Get down. This is a band that we've been playing on Dispatch with the Underground for years. They've played Punk Island. They played on stage on Punk Island before. We love them. We played a lot of shows with them over the years. And they're just an amazing band that has never lost it. They just kill it every time. And Craig from SBC Bookings was the main force behind making this Rock Against Racism show happen. So big thanks to Craig. And this is his band, Gangway. Get down.
All through the years of
Steve, thank you so much for coming back out to our studio or whatever this is. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you for having me. I love coming on.
We're like flip-flopping places to go yesterday. We were supposed to record at the Rock Against Racism show. I had all my gear, and then we were just having too much fun. We couldn't get together and do it. So we are recording Sunday afternoon. I know everyone's listening to this a little bit later, but we're recording Sunday afternoon, the day after the Rock Against Racism show, which happened on Long Island and across the country. This is all across the country that this happened.
Nationwide event.
And it was an event. The shows, all these punk shows, were in support of the punks in California who beat the shit out of these fucking Klansmen, the Ku Klux Klan motherfuckers, who came through in California, and they held a rally, and the punks there came out and fucked them up.
Yeah, beat the shit out of them.
And in doing so, a bunch of them got arrested, are facing some serious charges, and the Klan motherfuckers actually stabbed some of the punks.
Yes.
So they had some serious medical shit, too. None of them died.
No. Everybody walked away, but
the most important thing to take away from that is you can get stabbed by a Klansman and be okay. Okay, so you should
get
not
out
be...
there and get stabbed, motherfucker,
or stab some folks. But either way, get some stabbing done.
Slashing is fine too.
Yeah,
whatever,
of course.
You do.
Yeah, we're not sure about the slashing bit, but the stabbing, we're 100. We have fucking scientific evidence to say that that's fine. but you're probably going to go to jail. But whatever. But so these benefits were held, Rock Against Racism, coast to coast. It's been a while since there's been a coast to coast Rock Against Racism thing, as far as I know.
Yeah.
It's been like, I know Tom Morello and System of a Down were doing that pretty regularly. And then they had Access to Justice stuff in like 2007, 5, 6, 7. But since then, I haven't really seen a lot of Rock Against Racism. I don't know if they've been doing stuff.
I don't know. And this was a fully like underground event. You know, this wasn't like broadcast. You know, this was all word of mouth, I guess, or word of internet, and everybody got together. You know, really, Craig from Gangway is the guy that really kept communication with everybody. Like, this was kind of his show. So me being here representing, I'm just speaking for Craig. Hopefully I do him justice.
But let me just get this straight. The Ku Klux Klan should, if they're listening, which they're probably not, if they're listening, they fucked up a bunch of times, ended up listening to this. But they should come after Craig from Gangway. If anyone's going to get attacked for this, it's Craig. Got it. No, it's cool. We'll just cut around the rest of it. It's fine.
Well, actually, at the end of the show last night, you know, we're wrapping everything up. We're packing up. And I went up to Craig and I was like, you know, I wore my boots. I never wear my boots on a nice day unless I'm looking to kick someone's head in. And Craig was like, yeah, I was kind of hoping to get some action, hoping someone was going to show up and tell us, you know, try to get us to fucking shut it down. We were ready to throw down. We were a little disappointed. It was such a peaceful day.
I think we could, if y'all want to make that happen, I feel like we can make that happen some more. But I'm pretty happy that it went out without a fucking hitch. Yeah. But Craig, I got your back, bro. I mean, I got your back in that I will get some right-wing fuckers to come at you. I got your back in that sense. All right. No, but it was a great fucking show. It was for a good fucking cause. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how it went well, and what we did through it, and some of the bands, because the bands were fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
This was not, before we get to the bands, this was not the first SBC show. You guys have been booking a little bit. SBC is a new booking collective.
Very
new. New-ish?
Very new booking collective, yeah.
Long Island Booking.
Yes.
What the fuck does SBC mean? Is that a top secret thing?
It's not top secret. There were a couple of names floating around. Mark Lopez, who plays bass for The Great Lie, who unfortunately didn't play yesterday, but they are fucking, you would love them.
Oh, yeah?
I don't even know him. And he also plays bass for Two Man Advantage.
Oh.
I'm rocking their shirt right now. And
I didn't know him from Two Man Advantage. How the fuck don't I know him from Two Man Advantage? He doesn't always play bass for me.
No, well, he did. He was the original bass player, and then someone else took over, moved to DC. Jeff Snapshot is a great dude. Yeah. But now Mark is back in the band. Mark started it. There were some names getting kicked around, and he came up with Something Better Change, which is the name of a DOA album, an old DOA album. And I said, that's what I want the name to be. That's my vote.
Nice.
And nobody else really had
Something
Better Change.
Something Better Change. Oh, I see. Yeah. Something Better Change, yeah.
Because Long Island has been it's been a mess, a disaster, you know. So we're trying
to, show-wise.
Punk show-wise, yeah. It's just been, there's been a million shows every week, and we're just trying to kind of take it over and get it organized and make sure that when people come from out of state or anywhere, you know, even the locals, like, we want to put on good quality shows where you're going to get a good turnout and not bands watching bands. We're all sick of that. A lot of us are in bands, so We know how that is.
I mean, it's so tough to get organized music-wise and show-wise. There's just so much going on, especially in like New York City area. So it's a monumental effort. That's pretty impressive. And the shows you guys have lined up are fucking amazing.
There's some good stuff coming. Yeah, definitely good stuff coming up.
So like having booking that is impeccable, like, you know, like there are some people who do that in New York City, like Scenic Presents. You know, you go to a Scenic Presents show, it's always going to be top of the line.
Yes.
You go to a Rocksoft Presents show, it's always going to be top of the line.
Definitely.
Like there are promoters in the city where you go to Dispatch of the Underground show, it's like mostly going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like there are some bookers that, you know, you're never going to get a dud. You know, they're not booking unless they're doing something amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm fucking, everything I've seen from SBC that you have planned looks fucking amazing.
Thank you.
That's
Thank
not
you.
Easy to do. You guys had the right folks involved.
Definitely. There's 12 of us, and
jeez,
it's 10 guys and 2 girls, and without those 2 girls, Chloe and Jesse, shout out, because there would be nothing getting done.
Yeah.
We are idiots.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about exactly. Yeah, that sounds about right from what I know of the fellas involved in this. Yeah. And life in general. All those sound like it's about right on par. So what do you guys got planned?
May 1st, we have our very first Sunday matinee.
The May 6th show. You guys have a sick flyer for that show. That fucking great drawing she did with the skeleton coming out of the grave. And you guys are playing that show.
Yes. And every SBC band, because there's 6 or 7 bands involved in the SBC, different members, we're all playing that show. This is probably the one and only time that we're all going to be playing on the same show.
What are all those bands?
Well, the bands in SBC are Carbon Thief, Zero Rights, Gangway, The Great Lie, Outlive Death, and Mutiny Abroad. We also have Yum Yuckers playing the show as well, who are playing the SBC Candy Apple Red Punk Island stage.
And that May 6th show is a benefit for Punk Island.
Punk Island benefit.
Nice. So that's $10. People should definitely go to that. I mean, those are all fucking... I saw a bunch of those bands yesterday playing the show, and they were fucking unbelievable. You guys killed it, by the way.
You and
Paulie, right?
Yeah.
You fucking sounded so top of the line, like super professional, fucking incredibly tight. I can't believe you were drunk.
Well, we're
on
really pulling that off. I was sober.
What a sound!
I mean, I'd sobered up by that point, so I was like a little hungover. Actually.
All these fucking bands out there who have like a wall of cabs, you know, and you guys had this huge sound.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know how the fuck you got that sound out of those things. Just two of you guys. It was it. You don't have 2 guitar players, right?
No.
Yeah.
We're just monstrous, I guess.
Paulie's like duplicating as he's playing.
So of course I got a shout out to Shurima.
Yeah.
Because you guys fucking killed it yesterday too.
Thanks, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, we had to follow you, so we had to fucking put on our fucking A game.
Oh, that's not true. I'll cut that out.
One of the best bands of the night.
Thanks, Shurima. But all of these are at Amityville Music Hall.
So many of them, yeah. Obviously, we have Punk Island June 19th. We have a lot of great shows coming up. Just check the website, because if we sit here talking about them, we're going to kill a lot of time.
Sorry.
Slapshot and Murphy's Law are 2 of the big ones coming up. Disaster Strikes.
Okay. Go to the website, SBCBookings with an S on the end, .com. But on top of all that, you guys put together this Rock Against Racism show. Craig is the one to blame, or the one responsible for making this shit happen.
Yes.
How did you decide what bands were going to play? Because there were such... Most of them were SBC bands.
Yeah. Everybody in SBC wanted a part of this show because we all believe strongly in that, you know, in that obviously racism is fucking stupid. It means if you're racist, you're a fucking idiot. And we were all ready to fucking throw down if we had to, so.
And that, what a great way to christen a collective by starting off on the right foot. I think that's important for bands and collectives to start off with their new projects with doing something that has meaning and content. And I think just doing this, like, made a mark. It's like, this is what we're going to be about. And I think that's, like, the thing to carry through in the rest of it.
Yes.
So that was a really good call.
And it was good. It was a good way to test the waters with all the members. Because I didn't even know all these people before we started. Mark Lopez picked us all, you know. But if there was one person that was like, oh, I don't know about that show.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm saying if there was.
Right.
Could have been like, I don't think you know what we're about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, maybe it's time for you to rethink the collective. That's a good point. Yeah, and you know, it can be difficult. So this is what Dispatches is all about. We're all about mixing and recognizing the politics of our music and mixing politics with music and like understanding the politics gets communicated with music. And a lot of other folks out there don't want to mix that. They just want to have a good time. They just want to get drunk. They just want to listen to music. I get that desire, but that recognition is so definitive to like everything that we do, you do, all of us do. And recognizing is important and acknowledging it, but also like consciously bringing it in, you know?
Yeah.
And it's difficult. Like, talking about racism is difficult for most people and bands to do out there.
Yeah.
Not easy to do.
They don't want to piss people off. They want to grow their numbers. It doesn't matter who's in their crowd watching them. They just want people on their side loving their band. And you know what? You don't like my band because we don't like the shit that you believe in. Well, fuck you. You know, get lost.
And it was good that other bands on the show, too, were talking about the fact that this was a Rock Against Racism show, that this was a, and Gangway did a great job of really bringing, Craig brought it back to the whole incident in California. He kept bringing it back to that, and I think that was great, despite the fact that he was obliterated by the end of the night. He was, like, unconsciously ratcheting this whole thing back to that. I thought that
typical
was really impressive.
Craig fashion? Yeah, he is so good at that. He's like, but, yeah, I mean, you can't deny Gangway fucking killed it
last
night.
Unbelievable.
Fucking place was going off.
Really, really fucking great. But it is tough, you know? It's tough to be bringing it to that place all the time.
Yeah.
What do you feel like, was it people who came for the show, bands that came for the show, left with in thinking about Rock Against Racism, thinking about racism? Do you feel like it had an impact? Do you feel like it fell short? While you're thinking about it, I'll say that, to me, I had a friend who was at the show, who was a very political friend. She brought up to me, I'll leave her name off of it because I don't know if she wants to be associated with this bullshit fucking podcast. But she brought up to me, she said, it's really good that this show is happening. Many times she said it to me, it's really good that this show is happening because Trump has been in Long Island many times and has been sort of beating the drum of racism. And there's been a lot of attacks against immigrants. They've sort of been bubbling to the surface. So the fact that this was happening in Long Island, she said it's disappointing it's not happening in New York City because it should be happening there too. But it's also great that it's happening in Long Island, especially because it's really, like, you know, bubbling to the surface here.
Yeah. Well, to answer the first part of your question, what people walked away with, I don't know. I have a feeling we would have had a better turnout if maybe it wasn't something like that. Maybe people were afraid to show up. They didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was a good turnout. We had a great time.
It raised a lot of money.
Raised some money. We raised a couple $100 for the cause. I mean, that's awesome. But I do feel like maybe some people stayed away. Hmm. Not sure. Because Long Island is, you know,
tense.
Long Island's tense. I mean, it's always been. Long Island is I'm from Long Island. I'm a native from eastern Long Island, which is the further east you go, or the further south you go, I guess you could say, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, Patchogue, where Trump had his rally a few weeks ago, it was steps away from where he was speaking was the spot of an infamous killing that happened not 2008 it happened. Hmm. Kid got jumped just walking home one night by a bunch of white kids who wanted to go Mexican bashing.
Wow.
Yeah, they just surrounded him. They started beating him up, got carried away. One guy pulled a knife and killed the guy.
What?
Yeah. I guess 8-on-1.
I guess that stabbing shit we were talking about earlier is not entirely true.
Depends on who you're stabbing.
Holy fuck.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Or who's doing the stabbing, I guess.
Doing, yeah.
Fuck. That's crazy. Yeah. And then Trump was right next to it.
Trump was right there. I mean, that wasn't an accident,
You
ask me. Somebody posted an article, actually, recently. It was about Patchogue, which is that's the town that this happened in. And its long history of racism. That shit. I mean, Yaphank, which is the next town over, had a Nazi German settlement.
Wow.
Inside, and it's still called Germantown.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
You had to be 100% full-blooded German to live there. It's still there.
Wow.
I don't think you have to be full-blooded German to live there anymore, but it's still known as Germantown.
I mean, I'm almost okay with that. It's like they're living in a ghetto at that point, so it's like sort of like you deserve it, but I guess it's fucked up because it's on their terms. But
Yeah. But Long Island is known for its racism.
I get that people would be nervous about that because they're not conscious of it and they think they're going to come into like a fight or whatever. But, you know, to me, it's like obviously all of us are against racism. Just the people don't want to like put their fist where their mouths are, right? They they think that someone else is going to put their fist there first. So I get that that's uncomfortable, but it just seems like such an obvious thing for people to do. And anyway, the bottom line is last night was nothing but great times. Good, incredible people. Everybody there was super cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like a normal show because normal shows, people aren't talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody I talked to, I've almost never met before.
Yeah.
And it was like really comfortable. Good vibe.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think people should go and do these shows more. And hopefully there's some Rock Against Racism stuff continues and people do those shows, but bring that vibe into it. Just like do a political, expressly political shows, and then people come out and they just want to talk. And you could talk about those politics. You could talk about what you don't agree with.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk about the awkward uncomfortableness about what your band you did, because that's uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like in your band, you know, let the music. Actually, the guys in Red Arcade, they said while they were playing, they said, we don't really talk much when we play. We let our music speak. But people like you and I, especially you. No, I think it's great. I think it needs to be done. But, you know, it can go either way. Let your music speak. But I love hearing someone rant in between songs, like fucking tearing some bullshit belief to shreds, and then hearing that four count just go into the song. You know, that's to me what fucking punk rock should be. It's like anger, you know, even in between songs. Yeah. You know,
100%. I agree with
some
that.
Some people don't like that, you know. So Paul, my guitarist, said, you know, my favorite part of our set was when everyone told you to shut up, you know, talking about me.
It's okay, Paul. You can say that I suck too. It's fine. Let's just join the club. That's okay. I fully get. And there's always a danger. I mean, I push people's buttons in ways that I don't even want to, and that cause me incredible difficulties in parking lots afterwards. And I understand that people's discomfort with that. And I appreciate Red Arcade's point. Like, look, when you're talented musicians like Red Arcade, it's easy to let the music speak for yourself. But I'm just a fucking ranting piece of shit who happened to stumble into a punk band, and they let me run my mouth during the set as well as in between the songs. So, you know, I can't let my talent speak for itself. I gotta fucking explain
Come on. You know, talent displays itself in many ways.
Red Arcade was sick. They were great. Shred with those sick fucking riffs and
heavy
really
tone
fucking
and everything.
Cool
and
fucking back and forth vocals, man.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a punk slash, even like a classic rock kind of vibe. I kind of caught like a little bit of that, like a 70s rock. But those guys, like, they are what, they're like a guy who books a show, they're everyone's dream. You know, like, they came early, they watched every band, enjoyed every band, hung out. Like, they were fucking into the music all night, fucking dancing, having a great time, like, stayed until the end of the night. Like, what more can you ask for, you know?
And, and as you said coming in here today, they sounded great. Like, you get a lot of bands who'll do that. That's just like, yeah, that's cool that you showed up and like you're here for all the bands. Yeah, I'm not sure about your band or whatever.
Yeah, might not book you again.
But they sounded fantastic. They put on a great show. It was electric. Yeah. They fucking crowd was super into it. There was a good interaction.
Yes.
Not easy to do all of those things and be good people on top of it. Very difficult to do.
I will definitely be booking them again.
Yeah, they were a blast. They were super cool. What were some of the other? We'll just end with this. What were some of the other bands of the night that you fucking super? Well, I mean, it's a little biased for you. It's not really fair because you already know these fucking bands.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, some of the bands I'd never seen before.
Oh, really?
Some of them. Yeah.
Oh, no shit.
Let's see.
I'm bummed out that I missed Beechcraft Bonanza.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. AJ's in that too, right?
Yes.
And I didn't know AJ was in it too. I just thought it was Chris and Stooley.
Yeah. Right?
So everyone in that band is a freak.
Yeah.
Is a fucking freak.
Absolutely.
And so I was even more bummed to find out that AJ from Death Dealer and a million other great bands was in that band. I was like, fuck. Now I'm even more bummed out.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're stepping out of their element a little bit doing Beechcraft. Stooley as Craig from Gangway. Because Stooley is the drummer from Gangway and, of course, my band Zero Rights.
Yeah.
Craig says, there's three drummers on Long Island, and all of them are Stooley.
That's true.
Anytime a drummer quits, they call that guy right away, and he's just, you know, he's always down. He's always good to do it. He never, anytime we ask him to play a show, he does it. Like, it's not like he ever conflicts or anything.
His drumming's great, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, he's
but
fantastic.
His face when he's playing, his face when he's like in the zone of playing is so perfect. I love watching that dude drum, just be like looking at his face. It's great.
Yeah.
It's like he's on Jeopardy when he's playing. He's like trying to figure out the answer to the question. It's so natural.
Yeah.
All the bands were great. It was a fucking fantastic time. Difficult to develop that vibe and also have those great bands play. So well done, SBC.
Thank you.
More shit coming from you guys soon.
Absolutely.
SBC Bookings with an S.com. Check it out. We'll fucking hear some more soon. Get down. On the way back from the show, from the Rock Against Racism show, Lauren from the Dispatches from the Underground Collective rode with us, and we were talking about all the incredible sets, and we were arguing about who really had the best set, because all of the bands were fucking incredible. And Lauren said, bar none, no questions asked, the best band of the night was Red Arcade, and it's hard to argue against that. They were fucking phenomenal. They were on fire. They really lit up the crowd. They did a great job. So we're going to be playing those guys right now. Here's Red Arcade. That's R-E-D, red, fucking dummies, of course it's red, Arcade is spelled A-R-K-A-D-E. So if you're going to look for him, look for that shit. So here's Red Arcade. Get down. We were hanging out the other day, and I think we were, I don't know, it was after the last Dispatches from the Underground Collective meeting, and we were eating some food, and we were talking about just, like, old ideas and, like, getting out of old ideas and, like, the struggle and the pain of, like, of being who you are when you're younger, when you have different ideas, and, like, living your whole life based on those ideas. We live our lives based on these ideas, and it is so gut-wrenching to me to then, like, recognize those ideas wrong. And then basically, to me, it is like looking back at your life and saying, all right, up to this point, I've been living on these ideas. And those now I'm saying to myself, those ideas are wrong. And I'm choosing to live by different ideas. And so I'm like throwing out all these other things I've done. It's hurtful. It's painful. And we're talking a little bit about this. And you're telling me that you used to be super into, like, conspiracy theory ideas. I don't know how you'd characterize it.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be it. I mean, everybody wants to hear a good story, you know. I think that's what it really comes down to. You want basically how I got into that. Should I get into that?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Let's talk about it. We all have ideas we're not proud of who we are. But to me, it's incredibly impressive when someone could recognize that they no longer agree with the ideas that they've been raised on or they've gotten into, and then move to new ideas. It is extremely difficult. It's the hardest, way harder than ever, like changing your dietary habits or your gym habits. It's much harder.
Yeah.
So it's impressive to me. So I don't know if you feel the same way, but I think you should tell people the story.
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like from the time I was a kid, you know, like when you're a young punk kid, you're angry. You know things are fucked up. You know, you understand politically. Like
still a little angry.
Yeah.
Steve.
Well, I'm always angry. I'm angry right now. I'm punching the wall right now.
Sorry. Well, yeah, when you're younger, you're punk, you fucking get aggressive about shit.
But you're scattered all over. You just know shit's fucked up. You don't know why. You don't know anything about it. When someone says, why do you feel that way? You say, fuck you.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't matter. As you start getting older, you know, and especially like with me, like, when I turned 21 was when 9/11 happened. Mm. And that's when, like, holy shit, like, politics comes home to roost. You know, you're like, okay, we got to I need to figure out what the hell's going on. And I've always been, you know, the anti-war, anti-this, you know, pretty leftist as far as my basic ideologies, but wasn't really, like, super clear on exactly everything, you know. The internet, I didn't learn how to use the internet until fucking a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So just trying to find my way. And a friend of mine, still a good friend of mine, I'm not going to mention anyone's name, but he was heavily into politics, and I knew that. And he was, you know, anti-government, you know, seemed kind of, you know, he himself is a good person, but he believes in some weird things. So
I got a lot of people say that about me, so I feel like I feel like I know where you're going with that. Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, what are those, some of those websites that you're into? And he sent me to, you know, Alex Jones type stuff. And stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
conspiracy theory stuff. Yeah. People who don't know Alex Jones, he's like a right wing ish. He's not explicitly right wing. He's like a libertarian, right ish, moderate on some stuff, moderate on some like social issue stuff. But he's heavily into like 9/11 truth type things, super conspiracy theory, like Illuminati type stuff.
Hugely.
Illuminati in your body.
Yeah. Very, you know, yeah.
He dangerous shit.
He doesn't really express his right wingness as forward as you would think,
right?
But at the same time, he's, you know, he's very populist, he's anti-government, but he doesn't recognize any of the issues that capitalism brings into, you know, the whole soup of what the fuck is going on and why the world is fucked up. So basically, America's great, we have nothing to do with the problems, it's not us, it's our government that is fucking. And I agree with that. I was like, well, that's appealing to me.
Sure.
But
appealing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were just some parts of it where I couldn't really get down with it. And a lot of it had to do with the constituency of his people. Like, you know, you read his article and it's like, well, okay, that's interesting enough. But then you go down and you'd realize that all these fucking people are like these crazy, racist, redneck fucking just like the worst people. They're like Trump voters. They're just the worst people that you could ever imagine. And I was like, well, I don't. It's weird that I would find myself believing in the same things that these people believe in. So
that's a good thing to recognize. Like when you're surrounded by assholes, it probably means you're an asshole. It just doesn't mean you're in the wrong building. It means you're probably an asshole. So,
well, I would find myself commenting on these things with my own ideas, like kind of like being like, guys, I don't know like what you're talking about. Like, I think that's kind of fucked up. And blah, blah, blah. You're a fucking troll. Get the fuck off our page. You don't agree with us. It's like the biggest echo chamber you've ever seen. Like, you disagree with anything that they say, you're out of the club. Like, don't even consider coming back here. Once they see your name, they're going to hunt you down and fucking send you packing. But, no, I really got into it. And me and my now wife, Krista, we were seriously, like, we were getting into the whole prepper thing. Like, Alex Jones has this way of making predictions on dates of things that are going to happen. You know, the economy is going to crash on June 19th, 2011. Right. And it was like, oh my God, you know, everybody's going running out and buying gold. We're fucking packing emergency bags and shit like that. And the dates come and go, the dates come and go, and nothing happens. And I'm like, something's wrong with this.
And if something did happen, it would just, it's kind of terrifying because if something accidentally happened on that day, it would like solidify for all those people. Like all those people would be like, holy fuck, it happened. And those people would be like taking guns out, man. Those people are like, you know, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And those conspiracy theory, I understand the attractiveness of those libertarian conspiracy theory-esque ideologies because they're really attractive to people in this society. They're like anti-establishment. They're against the government. You can sense that. Like, it's sort of like
we
the thread.
Are, yeah. In one way or another.
And, like, the punk sort of pushes people that way, and, like, that's healthy side of punk, and that's great. And so we all know the government's not fucking functioning. And so that once you've decided on that, there's a couple avenues you can go. But the conspiracy theory stuff, like, you don't need to rupture, you don't need to break with the idea of, like, personal responsibility. Like, there's this element of personal responsibility. Like, you can point a finger at the person that is to blame. And it is super attractive subconsciously or unconsciously to anyone who wants to find a reason why there are problems, but has never been trained by the society to understand capitalism or like how markets work or, you know, faceless, nameless functions of social systems and economic systems, which are goddamn complicated.
Yeah.
And it's easier to just be like, oh no, there are Jews living in the earth and they have been fucking things up for a very, very long time and they're evil and they all wear like the same kind of hats that Jelly Biafra wears, which is unusual, but you know, and there's like, it's super, you don't have to break with that the individual responsibility thing. It fits like in our comfortable zone, but it feels like you're going against the system.
Yeah.
So it's really comfortable and radical at the same time.
Right.
So it makes a lot of sense.
But it also prevents you from actually having to dig deep in the right direction. Like you can dig and dig and dig and you'll find yourself in a deeper hole going down and now you're stuck down there. You're not, there's no light at the end of that tunnel.
Yep.
Like you're not going to come to any valid conclusion. You just, I mean, it really, it gets, it turns you into like, I don't even know what to say. It makes you mad. Like not mad, like yeah, you get angry, but it makes you like literally insane because you think that everything, like everything that comes up in you know, on the political spectrum with Alex Jones is the government is behind this. You know, anything, all the mass shootings that happen, it's all government set up, and here's why. You know, every single one. Because why? Because they love their guns, and they can't believe the fact that somebody would take a gun into a school and kill a bunch of kids.
Right.
No, it was the government that did that because they want to take your guns away. Not that someone's a crazy fucking idiot and would do that.
Right.
You know.
And so everything they're looking at is coloring what they're seeing. So like they're looking at it so definitively from their perspective that they can't even like see a different way of looking at it.
Right.
And it's the same thing with racism. It's kind of funny that we're talking about this in opposition to what we're talking about before, like the rock against racism. Because there's like a logic, right? There's like this spiral logic. Like you sort of like end up on this staircase and it takes you down this hallway and it turns you and twists you and turns you and twists you until you're at the end of a hallway and you're like, Jesus, where am I? I'm so lost and confused, but I don't know how to get back where I'm going. I just need to keep walking because I can't stop going forward.
Yeah.
So you keep going down that hallway until you, and everything you see just reinforces that you need to move forward on that hall, in that staircase.
Because you can't, you're not able to detach yourself from that belief, whatever that belief may be, that like guns aren't evil, people are, you know, government is evil or whatever it may be. Anything that goes against your basic ingrained ideology, that's what's wrong, not what is what you're thinking is wrong. Like, yeah, I understand, you know, we understand that there are certain flaws in the things that we believe in, sure. I guess, but you have to accept that and maybe like weigh the option of whether or not the flaw is worth
the, you know, yeah, the I mean,
finish
it's
my
it's,
sentence, please.
It's a whole world outlook, right? So you have to like, people are reason-making machines. They have to have reasons to do the things they do every day. They have to have reasons to get out of bed. They can't just get out of bed. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get out of bed. They're going to get on the antidepressants, and those will help them get out of bed if they lose their reasons. So everyone has these reasons. So you accept that there are flaws in your reasons in order to help you function still, because it's difficult to challenge those to the core, right? But you overlook those. I mean, I think those are like opportunities to straighten things out, but it's really, really hard. People accept those, and everyone does. Everyone does. No one fucking actually believes that, like, some crazy, like, son of God came down and walked on water and then, like, fucking made wine into water. Like, no one believes that they touched the fucking wine and turned. And so they overlook those flaws, right?
Oh, man. There Everybody are so does. Many people that do believe it, though.
But they deep but down they, yeah, this, they like, this know. Sense, right?
They gotta know.
So they overlook those. And that's not even – we're not even talking shit about religion right now. It's just like – you overlook those little things.
Yeah.
And it's understandable as much as it is painful. But, yeah, you overlook those.
Yeah. Well, it's just – it's the same thing. This ideology becomes a religion. And when any ideology becomes a religion where you're unwilling to step back and say, okay, that's wrong, I need to change my ideas. No, you don't change your ideas. You change everything else around to fit your perspective.
Exactly.
That's dangerous.
So how did you get out of that? Because everybody has these bad ideas. We all have them. I have them. Everybody has them. And the hard part isn't having them, because all of us have them. But the hard part is recognizing that you need to change, because there's a logic to it. And like stepping out of that logic is painful. I remember as an example very sharply. I remember in college, I grew up in Ohio, in suburban Ohio, saying, you know, racist grandparents, extremely mm-hmm. racist grandparents, oh, yeah. who taught me racism. And you know, my parents weren't racist, but they, you know, they had those tendencies. Mm-hmm. And I would just say, you know, going into college, you just say fucked up shit. You say, you know, the B word, bitch, and things mm-hmm. like that. You say faggot and the, you know, other fucked up shit that I would not say anymore. That's uncomfortable for me to say now. I would just say that as without thinking. And I remember some activist friends were like, dude, you can't say that kind of stuff. Like, oh, stop being a faggot or whatever. Like, yeah. When I started going to college, I just said that kind of stuff. And I'm like, dude, you're being like a PC dumbass. Like, and I remember sitting in a room with a bunch of other activists and like thinking about that and just being like, God, it is wrong, mm-hmm. isn't it? But I don't want to change. I don't want to like stop doing everything I've done. It's not a big deal. It's just like words. And I remember that. And it was just like, it hurt. Why does it hurt to acknowledge we've done something wrong? But it is when you have been doing something a certain way for a very long time.
Yeah.
To change it and to admit that it's like admitting defeat. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Even if it's petty and you do see that it's wrong, you don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
So how did you get like out of that logic?
Well, first, you know, going on what you were just saying, I'd like to start with that. Something came up the other day. I was talking to my wife, Krista, and somebody was saying some fucked up shit, and they said, sorry, that's just the way I was raised. And I am so fucking sick of that saying of that's the way I was raised, so that's what I believe. Grow a fucking brain. Just because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean that you have to be that way. But getting out of, you know, this conspiracy theory stuff, there were a couple of things. Number one was the... Are you editing right now? Okay. One is that, you know, you find a lot of the people, like, are just fucking crazy. Like I said, I found myself surrounded by assholes, and I'm like, well, I really can't be associating with these people. Like, I can't go to functions and, you know, if there was a rally, like, do I really want to be around these fucking people?
Yeah.
Like, they're quoting Bible verses as reasons for why they're doing things and, like, why the end of the world is happening, why the market's crashing. I don't need to hear that shit, okay?
That's why I don't make metal music, yeah. Say, I don't want to be around y'all. Sorry, dude. Exactly.
The other thing is, you know, these predictions that kept coming out, they were just never happening. And I'm like, how many fucking times am I going to listen to this guy? Am I going to fucking freak myself out just to end up being like, well, that was wrong, but maybe the next one will be right. Like, no, this is wrong. Like, you know, it's just like a science experiment. You do the same thing over and over again and you get the same result.
I mean, that's not normal, Steve. So a lot of people, I think you're putting more thought into it than I think a lot of people are or do. So you're looking at it like a science experiment, you know, which is a huge thing, like going things and approaching things with that methodology mm-hmm. or methodically is not a lot of people are doing that. Also, you're talking about the before too, like these holes or lapses in logic, and like, you know, you sort of like ignore them because they just don't make sense at the time, but you also like take time to think about those holes. And I think a lot of people don't take time to reflect on those holes. And they're like, well, I'm sure one of those dates passed. And they're like, oh, well, it passed. But next time it probably won't, you know. So they don't even spend a minute reflecting on why that passed.
It's rigid ideology. Yeah. It's the same problem that religion itself is causing so many problems is that, you know, just right. look past one thing. It's
exactly. Yeah. So I think looking at those holes is important. I think a lot of racists do this too. You know, I can imagine those folks who we were talking about before who are saying, like, this is just how I grew up, right? Those folks who are just like, oh, I just grew up, I'm sorry, said that shit, but that's just how I grew up, right?
That's all I ever known.
Can you imagine if they applied that logic to other people? Like, you know, I'm sure these racist pieces of shit are like, oh, you see how those people treat their families? Like, that's fucked up. I'm like, yeah, but that's how they grew up.
Yeah.
So you're justifying your fucking backward ass thinking by saying that's how you grew up, and don't you think you should at least justify their backward ass thinking by how that's how they grew up? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I broke into your house and stole all your food. I grew up believing in feudalism, and I think I'm a feudal lord, and you're just some sort of serf. So I can help myself to your shit. It's just there's no rigid their logic is flawed. And they accept their flaws and they don't apply it.
Yeah.
And they choose to apply it when it serves their effort. And they don't look at those holes, right? They don't look at those holes with any methodology.
Yeah. And if you have a problem with what they're saying, it's because of your weakness, not right. because of what's wrong with they're saying. You know, how many times do you hear that everybody's so soft, everyone's so PC these days? And it's like, you're not even understanding. Like, sit in a room and look, sit on a bus and look around you and fucking start spouting off all this bullshit that you say. You're going to fucking be talking about one of those people on that bus. You might not even know who you're talking about. You might be talking about the gay dude that's sitting next to you, or, you know, the Hispanic dude at the front of the bus, or, you know, just think about, when, you know, like,
when people are challenging you, you can't. You're so sensitive that you can't even spend a moment thinking about what they're saying, because it would fracture that logic.
Yeah.
You know, and if that logic is fractured, it's like your exoskeleton's broken down. You're just going to pour out like mush.
Yeah.
Right? So you have this thick exterior and that supports all of your thinking, because if you really deep down reflected on those, if you took the time to really reflect on them, your whole life, everything you believed in would just sort of spill out. And like jello, like fucking runny jello, you know, that's been left out of the fridge for too long. Like, it just wouldn't hold up. So I think that that is commendable. I think that that's exactly what dispatchers we hope to do. Look, we're not here to beat people over the head with their ideas. I don't give a fuck if you agree with me. I don't try to get people to. We don't care if you agree with everything we say. Yeah. But think about your shit.
Please think.
You know, that's just reflect on it.
Yeah. Just sit down. You don't have to be around anybody. You don't even have to talk about it. But sit down in a room by yourself and just say, you know, is this really the way things are? Like, do I need to change anything that I'm thinking right now? Like, are things not adding up? Are they not lining up? Am I forcing myself to believe something over actual logic?
And it's with the racism, too. Look, people don't want to admit that racism is logical. It's logical. It is a logic. Right? It is a logical way of thinking of things. It doesn't mean it's good. I'm not putting a fucking value judgment on it. I'm just talking about rationality and reason, right? I think it's a fucked up logic. I think it's a flawed logic. I think it's despicable logic. It's not moral to me, but it's a logic. A racist piece of shit hates other races because it benefits that individual. Like, that's a logic, and it's makes sense. And attacking those people based on logic is never going to work. Attacking them with bricks can work, but it's not going to break their logic. It's not going to break their logic, right? So you need to figure out, if we really want to break down racism, we could stab all the Klansmen in the country, and I think that's like a really good step. But at the end of the day, when stabs come to scars, right? When things start to heal up, when we aren't going to kill every racist out there, and I don't think that's even worth our time. At the end of the day, it's trying to develop our logic and reach out to people who are looking at those holes in the logics and try to help them fill those with escapes. Get out of it. Mm-hmm. Jump out of that. Sit on the bus. Look around you. Really reflect on it. Not in some sort of hippie way. Don't fucking go to Walden Pond and like fucking Emerson out or whatever the hell. Like, we're not talking about being Thoreau here. We're talking about aggressive conflict, internal and external.
Just think about what it's like when you hear somebody bashing what you are, you know, whether it be your ideology, which is changeable, or whether it be something about you that's not changeable. You know, it's just, it makes you, it crushes you.
Yeah.
And think about that, like, before you go saying something that you think, just because it's a societal norm to say things like, oh, you're a fucking faggot. You know, the guy sitting next to you is going to take that and be like, oh, I can't be who I am around this person.
Exactly.
You know, the worst thing, you know, I'm a construction worker. Like, I'll be sitting at a deli in the morning and someone will come walking up to the four of us will be sitting at a table just talking. And we're four average looking straight white guys.
Yeah.
You know, we have like,
folks call that cis white dudes, bro. Yes. Because you want to know the fuck.
But I'm just saying, like, I would, you know, to any other person, I would just look like any of these other guys. Someone will come walking up, not even knowing us. They'll walk up to us and start talking about those people. You see those fucking people over there? Oh, they make me sick.
Wow.
Disgusting. Because they're walking up to people who, just because of the way we look, they think that we have the same ideas as them. And like, I'm just taken back. I'm like, maybe I need to change my appearance or something. Mm-hmm. Like, separate myself from these people. But, you know, I'll stand up and be like, they're just people. Like, they're just living.
Yeah.
What are they doing that's bothering you so much?
That makes a million times more difference. A million times bigger of a difference than me looking like a leftist piece of shit that no one's ever going to bring that up to because they know that they're going to get hit with a fucking speech or whatever else.
Yeah.
Like, it makes a much bigger difference than me just, like, wearing my whatever that attacks them. I think it's a huge, you know, uncomfortable.
I don't know if it ever makes an actual difference, but at least it shuts them up when they're around me. Like, they don't talk like that when I'm around, but I know that they're still thinking it and...
But you're also, like, causing them to reflect on it, too, to know at least, well, this isn't something Steve's okay with. So that actual moment causes them to self-censor a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they respect you, not because they're fearing you. And so then they think a little bit more about what they're saying, at least around you. So they're spending time thinking about it. So, like, we all stop talking to them because we hate doing the same thing over and over again and speechifying to them. But it has an impact.
Yeah.
You know, and
just talk on the level, you know.
Yeah. Just fucking, you know, try to break down people's logics.
Yeah.
Just try to fucking speak to people like humans and break down some logics. And if push comes to shove, stab a fucking Klansman.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's, you know, I guess we're at the end of the day. That's what we gotta do. But I do appreciate, Steve, that you're willing to talk about this. I know it's not, I'm sure it's not super comfortable. Uncomfortable for me to talk about that kind of stuff. But also, to me, the toughest people, men, women, whoever, the toughest people are the people who are willing to go through that, the hardest pain in the world. The strongest people are not the guys in the gym who are lifting heavy shit. It's the 70-mile runners who are fucking doing super marathons.
Yes.
Those people are strong. Those people burn way harder than those fucking, those meatheads can ever fucking understand.
Absolutely.
And that's more discipline. And to me, the ideological equivalent of that is the people who are rigorously, like, self-reflective and attacking themselves without being attacked and changing their ideas, whether it's in line with what the main media is, mass media is saying, or against it, whatever. It's that internal struggle that is really the toughest of the tough. And these other guys who are like, oh, fucking PC motherfuckers, they're not tough.
Yeah.
They have no substance.
They're not thinking at all.
They have never spent grueling weeks analyzing their own thoughts, because if they did, they'd fucking fall apart.
They've never even spent a minute hanging out with somebody who have a different background. They don't hang out with multicultural people. They hang out in their little echo chambers and they're comfortable there.
Yep.
But I guess, are we ending here? Are we coming to an end? I think the whole thing behind this is that all these people, conspiracy theories, everybody, we all want the truth. We want to understand the world that we live in. It's fucked up. It's complicated. You know, if you're feeling, if you're thinking something and you're feeling it and it feels uncomfortable or wrong, like we've been saying, challenge it, go against it. If it doesn't feel right, fucking abandon it. Because if you want truth, you're not going to find it if you're chasing a lie and trying to mold the truth around all this shit. You know, the truth is beyond us. We need to keep looking for it, not trying to form something to make it feel right, if that makes sense.
I think it does. Hopefully it makes sense to people out there. So if you need to hear that again, fucking rewind the last minute and just listen to Steve and cut my shit out. Get down. I want to send a big shout out to Paul from this band Outlive Death for shouting out Dispatch from the Underground during his set at this show, at Rock Against Racism show. So I'm going to return that favor by playing an Outlive Death song right now. Here's Outlive Death. Get down.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
How much has it changed, but still the same meaning? This is our home, it keeps my heart beating. It's about the call to follow your heart, the belief and the hope that can't be torn apart.
The days of our past
won't pass us by.
This is our time,
a chance to speak our mind. Spoke our mind when no one would listen. We'll never turn our backs or fall to division. We broke from the norm. We all found the courage, tore down the wall to carry out the message.
The days of our past
won't pass us by.
This is our time,
a chance to speak our mind.
The days of our past. Whoa. will not pass us by. This is our time, a chance to speak our minds. Look in my eyes, no looking back. Look in my eyes, no looking back. We see the blood, we see the pain. Stand as one, don't be ashamed. We see the blood, we see the pain. Stand as one, don't be ashamed.
Okay, that's the end of the episode. Want to thank everyone for tuning in. Want to say a huge thank you to Steve for coming on the show again and getting down with us and opening up and talking about all that shit, all that very heavy stuff. I want to say a big thank to his collective out in Long Island, SBC Bookings. Huge thanks to Craig for booking the Rock Against Racism show in conjunction with folks all across the country. I want to say a huge thanks to all the punks in California who took some stabbings from the Klan in order to fucking try to push out the racism from their community. It's important that people remember that racism happens every day. It happens in very subtle ways, and it happens because people are not willing to step out of their comfort zone and confront it when they see it happening. It's uncomfortable. Friendships get lost over it, and it doesn't feel good all the time to do the right thing. But it's important, and in those moments, it really defines who you are. And I think the punks in California really showed us what they're made of that day. So thank you, punks in California, for getting down. Hope this money helps alleviate some of the frustration and pressure you felt since that. And you've inspired us to do a lot more in our daily work to make sure racism is confronted. So thank you. Hopefully, y'all got a little bit out of the episode. That's why we do this. Hopefully you sat back and soaked in some underground thoughts, and hopefully that breaks down some of your mainstream racist bullshit that you soak in every day. That's our goal. That's what we're going to keep doing. If you dig it, you can donate to us to help us keep this podcast going. Go to dispatchusfromtheunderground.com. There's some shit there you can buy if you'd rather buy some stuff. There's a little store. We got some t-shirts and shit like that. Also, there's just a donate button if you want to do it that way. But this podcast is going to be free until I die or until something happens that prevents me from making this podcast anymore. But it's free, so you know, you don't have to. If you can, spread the word, let people know about it. That means as much as money, so we appreciate that as well. I want to let people know about a few shows that are going to happen in the next few weeks and months. Dispatchers from the Underground is hosting a few shows here in New York City. If you're in New York City, make sure you come to these shows. If you're not in New York City, make sure you check out these bands if you haven't checked them out before. They're all incredible bands on these bills. So that's one of the reasons we host them, is we just want great bands to have a great place to play. So that's what that's why we do what we do. Firstly, May 2nd, we're doing a little post-May Day pre-birthday party. My birthday is in May, and we're doing a little show to hang, just as an excuse to really hang out. We got a great band from Chicago coming. Red Moon Rising is going to be coming from Chicago that day, so it's really an excuse to be hanging out and seeing those guys. My band Srima is going to be performing that day. Oltor and Namatsenge is also going to be playing that day. So there's a bunch of great bands on that bill. That's May 2nd at the Grand Victory. The big show is June 19th, that's Punk Island. Dispatchers from the Underground is going to have one stage with seven other stages, eight stages in total, all day, all free, all ages. We'll take over all Governor's Island, and we'll just have a bunch of the best punk bands in America come and play for free that day. Rats in the Walls coming from California, My Pizza, My World from Texas. There's just an onslaught, an endless onslaught of great bands. Exit 17, Dementia Alcoholica, Scum City, Scalp Tarsus. My Motown hardcore band is going to be playing. Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjusters. And Ida is going to be coming and playing from Columbia, which is going to be headlining our stage, the Dispatchers from the Underground stage. But if you don't like those bands, well, first of all, you fucked up. All those bands are incredible. But there's seven other stages you can go check out while you check if you don't like that shit. So go check out the other stages too. But definitely you want to make sure you head over to the Dispatcher stage, to the headlining spot, because IRA is an amazing band, one of the originators of South American punk. So make sure you guys check them out. The next day, Rats of the Wall, Trashy, Srima, my band Srima, and we're going to have some special guests as well, are going to be playing a show at the Grand Victory. July 9th, we're going to be doing a benefit for Dan Klein, who's been a guest on this show many times. All Torn Up is going to be playing that show. And Marine Corps from Indiana is going to be playing that show. And we're going to be announcing some other bands very soon for the rest of that lineup. That's July 9th. So a bunch of great shows coming up. If you're not in New York City, All Torn Up is going to be on tour with Leftover Crack in June. Leftover Crack and Days, our dear friends in Days and Days. Make sure you check out those. We're going to be going up the East Coast, and we're going to have a show in New York City on June 19th, the night after Punk Island. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. We're going to be up next Wednesday with another one. So we'll see you then. Till then, get down.